after years in stasis lock. Freshly released from the bowels of Cybertron itself. The legend returns. Transformers! Now, broadcasting from the underground transmitters of TFormers.com and TFPodcast.com comes... Brian.
I took the LIFO, like, life assessment test, and it said that I was too passive, so now I'm going to be aggressive.
JD.
Freedom is the right of all sentient beings except for Decepticons who get shot in the head.
XB.
Now, I don't mean that in the hateful, sarcastic way I usually say it.
John.
No, I just imagine you, like, sweating and biting your lips and kind of slowly leaning forward.
Ender.
We have a long-standing relationship, me and Hasbro. I give them money, they give me stuff. When they won't give me stuff, it ticks me off.
And Rob.
I haven't paid the dolls any attention. I'm more about the 3-inch Real American Hero guys, but Firefly's rad. He wants to tell you about Transformers.
This is not your father's podcast. This is Radio Free Cybertron.
Today is February 17th, 2010, and of course, you are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is Brian Kilby, and with me, I have the gang. Guys, how's it going?
Great.
I love you, Sam.
Yes.
I hate you.
Rob, keep that under your hat. That's a secret. So, lots and lots of stuff going on this week. We're going to go ahead and jump right into it. First bit of news. Thank God Hasbro isn't Mattel. Ender, the floor is yours.
Oh, Mattel's Masters of the Universe has gotten to be like the most malignant, moronic, mishandled line in history. Not since a Hasbro creative meeting when one executive blurted out, "Let's kill the red truck guy," has a franchise been handled worse. The Masters of the Universe classics are an amazing line. They use modern toy-making techniques to bring out the best of a vintage figure, retaining its charm and essence while consistently exceeding modern quality standards and delivering fan-driven fun for the adult collector at a price that, while higher than average, is altogether reasonable. Sadly, the He-Man genius Falcon reaches its apex at this conceptual stage and then careens out of the sky with the aerodynamic grace of a quadriplegic hippo with an inner ear infection, plummets through a sky of inept customer service, plows straight and through a swamp of incompetent planning, and rests broken and ruptured in a bedrock of useless management. MattyScalper.com's inability to even handle its monthly server load, much less the demand for its product, has settled into a comfortable pattern of letting itself be milked by scalpers at a rate of 10 figures an order while the real customers wait in error screens. Meanwhile, scalpers, who are, by the way, the most worthless scum on earth, have already posted their overpriced rip-off auctions on the well-oiled servers of eBay, touting items' rarity due to a false scarcity they themselves have created with the foolish help of Mattel. Nothing endears fans to a brand like having legal tender slapped out of their hands as they attempt to exchange it for your product. The band-aid of a club was offered, seemingly a reasonable fix. You commit to buying the figures, and they guarantee you one. Simple enough. Until the line branches out into non-club figures, and the cycle begins again, as Battle Cat is snapped up by the scalping horde, and He-Man fans get shackled with Wondar, a not-remake of a never-was-exclusive. Now, underestimating demand for a fan line or miscalibrating your limits is not an unreasonable error. They have to make a profit and have to hedge their bets. However, one might think that after 1.5 to 2 years might be enough time to calibrate well enough that your servers don't crash every full moon and your product lasts more than half a hour. Mattel, get your together. Fire everyone on this project who is not a designer and sell us our toys. We give you money. You give us stuff. Yeah, I think that sums up how I feel about that.
Ender's awesome. A little pissed.
Yeah, he's a little angry. I thought I was upset yesterday, just responding, commenting, you know, my thoughts and everything on Maddie Collector's Facebook page. But Ender probably did twice the amount of damage that I did. I was pretty upset. I sat there for 45 minutes waiting for my order to process, which it went through twice, yet I received a status of unsubmitted. That's not even a word.
So this happens every month, huh?
Yeah, like clockwork.
Yeah, every month. They cannot handle their
work. And it has not gotten better in any way since they started.
It gets worse every month.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, it's okay. We'll do a reissue. Too bad it'll sell out in 5 minutes. Ugh.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous.
And what's the point of the reissue if they do the same thing that
exactly.
caused the problem the
exactly.
last time?
So exactly.
It's not that the demand is necessarily outweighing, I mean, their ability to produce the product. It's that their ineptitude
yes.
of...
Right.
Well, and then there's just the limit on how many you can buy at a time, which is 10.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
so
ridiculous.
By scalpers. I had a lovely yeah. conversation with a scalper yesterday on their Facebook page who, you know, over the course of the conversation, it slowly came out. He's like, well, I'm not a fan at all. I, you know, I'm like, well, why are you buying these? He's like, I bought 10 and I'm not a fan. I'm like, well, why? He's like, I'm not a scalper though. I'm like, well, what are you going to do with them? Like, keep them as an investment or something? Like, he's like, no. I'm selling them on eBay right now.
You're a scalper.
Yeah, you're a scalper, yeah. asshole. Yeah. And upon being told that, he then intimated us that my kind of attitude was why his son wasn't talking to him anymore, because he's only interested in profit. And that collecting Masters of the Universe as an adult was, quote, faggotry.
Yes,
these are who the people you're selling these to. And when you buy one on eBay, this is who you're buying it from.
So, Man in Black have a Facebook now?
Oh, that's awesome. So the reason we mentioned this on RSC, it's a little off topic, but you know what? When Hasbro posts their San Diego Comic-Con exclusive leftovers, their site doesn't crash, yet they're pounded.
You can actually buy them.
You can buy them. It's like, oh, Hasbro just announced that these are available. Oh, there they are. Oh, I just bought them, and my site, it didn't crash. I spent 45 minutes in a loop waiting for, you know, I pressed submit for my order to go through. And I literally waited 8 minutes for it to time out. I didn't know if my order was placed or not. Last 2 months ago, I actually didn't get billed on my credit card until the day after I got my shipment. It's insane.
You know, and that's just the other day when we did the live thing about Toy Fair, I bitched for a fair amount of time about how I thought that the Seekers at BotCon was a genuine mishandling of a situation, that they really screwed up, and that it was, you know, actually kind of a big thing to screw up. Mattel is basically doing something of that caliber every month.
Here's the question.
They schedule in advance. They send you little notes to your email. 15th of this month is when we're going to bend you over and shove the He-Man dildo. Yeah, thanks a lot.
It's even more frustrating when you're on Facebook and you get the little post from Matty Collector. And like you said yesterday, he has that smug look on his face.
Oh, God. I said, man, we should we should go to like Comic-Con this year and just mug that dude. Whoever's in that suit, just nail him for wearing the thing.
Yeah.
They're going to have to be like putting homeless people in that by the end of the year. Those things are going to be like pelted with Wundars.
So here's a question.
Yes.
Here's a question. Clearly, the most egregious offense here is just the experience is like absolute misery, and you feel like it's not that you weren't fast enough to get it or quick enough to get it. It's just that you're just getting screwed over every month.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. Well, I was going to say. So, is Mattel's reaction and how they respond to these criticisms making it?
Yesterday, the response was, it's like, oh, you fans are great. You know, it was another sellout. We appreciate it. In case you really want these items, you should just go ahead and buy the subscription. It's only $250 a year. And I'm like, what's that?
And we're not going to tell you what you're getting, and you might not get everything we make.
Today, they at least said, today they shuffled the complaint onto their to their third parties, like, oh, they screwed the pooch.
Well, it's like, yeah, you mean the people you hired and have kept for a year and a half while you do this over and over and over again?
You know, I am not the type
I don't buy that at all. It's like, you guys did that. You hired them. You've been sitting here doing this, and, like, it's been the same way every month, month to month to month. This is not a new line. This is not a new problem.
I'm not the type of person to complain because I worked in a call center where I took complaints for 3 years. I had to respond to Better Business Bureau letters that came in, and I know those things get looked at. My wife does that now. So upon her urging, I actually wrote a BBB complaint and sent it to Mattel. And it's not because I don't want them to do anything for me. I want them to improve their business model because I want to buy their toys. And they are not allowing me to do that. It's insane.
I can't imagine what their thought process is that, like, if they don't let the scalpers buy all the toys, they won't sell?
Well, I mean, it's
I'd rather pay Mattel $30 to $40 a figure than pay it to a scalper on eBay.
It's like, this has been like their modus operandi for the last 10 years. It's like with their line back 10 years ago, the 2002 series. It's like, oh, well, these toys are the distribution was terrible. And then they would have, like, you know, the one accessory would be blue, so it would be a chase figure, and that was even harder to find. So it's like they don't want you to buy their toys. It's crazy.
I know. The same geniuses who organized this scheme for selling these must be whoever decided, like, putting 5 Smash Blade He-Mans in a box was a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, and then think about how they did their San Diego Comic-Con exclusive figures.
Hero?
You had
to buy a
raffle ticket to get a chance to buy the exclusive.
Yeah, Mattel, newsflash, buying things from you should not be a privilege.
Yeah. Oh, well. So
do you have your Mattel buyer's license?
I don't. It expired last month. Okay, we spent 11 minutes on that. Let's go ahead and jump into the rest of the news. Unite for the Universe Optimus Prime is awesome. It is. I want that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Voyager Optimus Prime hauling around the remains of Jetfire.
I want it.
Finally, Movie Prime has a trailer.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's an old dead
truck
guy.
Pole, but, you know. Uncle Nicknack is strapped to his back.
It makes good armor, too.
It does. It does
clearly it was designed for that, so thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think not having to deal with transforming into a robot and a jet also really improved how that could form on the add-on parts for Prime.
Yeah.
I hope this thing's available stateside and I don't have to pay way too much for it. So
yeah, me too.
Hasbro's been good about getting us stuff. Hasbro at least loves us.
The problem with this
world is Hasbro today. I'm just like, man, I complain about Hasbro, but they're not Mattel.
The problem with releasing this Unite for the Universe Prime here is that with all the extra parts, it would end up having to be sold probably as a leader class toy.
I'd still buy it. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I know, I would too, but Hasbro might not think it's a good marketing.
And it might not be.
Right.
They have stumbled upon the one thing that would get me to buy this Prime again after 3 left behind repaints. I would be forced to buy the Voyager Prime again. This is cool enough.
Let's see here.
He's hauling around an old guy's corpse. You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
It's Hearst Prime. That's what they should call it. Hearst Prime.
Nice.
We also got pictures of animated Transformers, the Japanese version of Optimus Prime, out of the package. He looks pretty good. I'm kind of sold on this chrome color scheme. And I can't
take the shiny on these designs.
I kind of hate myself for that, but I like it.
It's not doing anything for me. It looks less like the show.
I know.
Right, no, the matte finish on the American toys was more in line with the way it looked in the show.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not kind of coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I can't justify why I like it. I just like it.
All I know is it means I'll finally be able to get my hands on a Cliff Jumper.
It's activated. It's Cliff Jumper.
Pre-order from our sponsor, Big Bad Toy Store.
We love Big Bad Toy Store. It's just Activator's Cliff Jumper, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
You couldn't find him stateside?
I couldn't find one. I tried.
I found 50 of him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I never saw one at I saw one at BotCon in, like, some dude's hotel room.
No idea it was hard to come by. I've seen him.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. Look what I can do with this.
Very deliberately.
Would you like to see my ironhide?
You know, I like the shiny colors, but unless it's a toy I don't already have, I wouldn't bother. You know, like, do I need another Voyager Prime? No, I'm good. I'm good.
Pretty much.
Let's see here.
I like that toy, too. I just...
Oh, it's great. It's just...
If I wanted to go buy another one for no reason, I'd just get one of the matte painted ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still available.
I just think about the puddle of goo it's going to be in, like... 10 years.
Yeah. We got new images of the Transformers Collectors Club membership figure Dion. He looks much less photoshopped than the previous pictures.
I don't know if that means better, but it looks different.
Yeah. Boy, I can't wait to get him in copper.
Wow,
in the mail.
That hot spot is so orange.
Yeah.
Orange Crush hot spot. That's what they should have called that.
I mean,
get a sponsor.
I'm not a member of the Transformers Collectors Club for the exclusive toy, and I don't think anyone really is, because why would you be?
Yeah.
I think this is probably the best one so far, as far as the membership figures go. It's not like the best exclusive toy they've had, but it's the best membership figure.
Yeah, we don't have to. Yeah. It's not missing it's a funny. Piece if we don't renew next year. Either.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's true. For whatever reason, it's the one I'm the least excited about so far. I don't know.
Just one of those things.
Yeah. It just doesn't look anything like Dion. It's like painted his color, but
yeah,
it's not a reasonable facsimile. It's not even close. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, wow, it's orange hotspot. I need an orange hotspot like I need a hole in the head.
Yeah, but the guy hasn't gotten a toy before. It doesn't. Well, I mean, I guess he did with the Wheelie repaint. But yeah, it's hey, here's a guy you don't have 1,000 of.
We never got a toy stateside.
Yeah,
so.
And Cop Tour.
Believe me, my Dion need was not satisfied by that Wheelie, and I have one. Yeah. But that's not Dion either. So
I like the Orion Pax.
If I was
better.
A big Hotshot fan, I'd be all about it.
Walkie loves it.
Yeah.
Well, I bet
it only matches his outfit.
Yeah. I've never understood Walkie's love for Hotshot. I really haven't.
It seems kind of random.
I think it's just an act of defiance against the rest of the fandom.
Probably.
Just so we can get attention, because that's what Walkie lives for.
He doesn't live for attention. Yeah, we love you, Walkie, but, you know.
He is kind of
wow. Kidding. Okay. TF, here. This is big news for us. If you want a Transformers animated RC, the Toys R Us exclusive, we have one. We're giving it away. We will be giving it away next Wednesday, which will be the 24th of February. We'll announce the winner on the show. It's simple and it's easy to win. You only have to do one thing. You follow us on Facebook. Go to tfradio.net and click Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, which is @TFRadio. And if you're not a social media person, you can just shoot me an email, brian@tfradio.net, brian@tfradio.net, to enter. That simple. I'll say this. If you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you've just doubled your chances to win. So,
think about that.
Yeah, and if you email brian@tfradio.net and say, hey, I want to get in on that, and you're already following us on Twitter and Facebook, you've got 3 shots at winning. We'll actually have 3 prizes for this. We'll pick a winner off Facebook, a winner off Twitter, and a winner from email. We'll have some Titan magazines and a couple other things. We'll actually announce what the prizes are next week. But brian@tfradio.net, follow us on Facebook, Twitter. And you can shoot me an email, and you're in the contest. So everyone, except for employees of E&I or staffers at RFC,
damn it,
are eligible. Yeah, sorry. So, got a freebie though. John made some really awesome posters.
Yes.
And we're giving those away. Supplies are limited. There's an Autobot Red or a Decepticon Purple. Again, email brian@tfradio.net. brian@tfradio.net, again. And just say, hey, I want one of the posters, and let me know what it is. We'll link to a little video that I shot where I was showing off the red poster. The purple poster is the same poster. It's just in Decepticon Purple. and we're giving those away. Again, supplies are limited. One more thing. Starting in March, the big news of the week really is Toy Fair. We'll get into that later on. That's the topic for the show. But we actually did a live Toy Fair podcast. 4 hours. It was fun. We had an absolute blast. And it was really sort of like a test run for doing a live podcast. So at the very least, once a month, we are going to do a live RSC, 8 p.m. Eastern, where we will answer questions. We'll be in the tformers.com chat. We'll actually take calls, so you just email me your Skype ID, and we will add you on to the show. People always ask, hey, how can I get on the show? How can I get on the show? How can I get on the show? Well, we have the crew down. The stat, unless we fire XV, we're not going to have a slot. So, but on the live show, you can come on. You can send us recorded questions. Email Brian at tfradio.net. Or you can come on and talk to us live. And we'll be responding to tweets. We'll be responding to Facebook. And we'll be responding to chat. It'll be fun. So the first one will be March 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I am really excited. And go ahead and check out the live podcast that we did last Sunday. That was a blast. Just go to tfradio.net and listen to all 4 hours of it. As Chris McFeely said, it was epic.
We should have Toy Fair every weekend.
Yeah, that was really, really, really fun.
Yes.
Let's see here. hey, JD, what's going on today in Transformers history?
So there we were. February 15th, 2006. Saw the epic-ish beginning of Transformers Beast Wars The Gathering. Issue 1 premiered on that date. And
boy, it was bad.
It was
issues of something about to happen.
Yeah. it was definitely an issue that came out. So
cliffhanger ending. Grimlock. Opening the next issue. He gets punched. That's it.
Drama.
I bought every single variant cover and I never read an issue.
Gosh.
Look at the cover. You've read the issue.
Okay, you know, I may make that the prize. For the third place odd prize. No, I won't do that to you.
Yeah.
So there was that.
Isn't it?
So there was that. And then, I'm sorry?
No, I think you're going to say what I was going to say.
Birthdays?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Wow.
Dual birthdays today for the Transformers world. Michael Bay.
Oh, God.
And more importantly, though, Gary Chalk. So,
hooray!
Gary Chalk is awesome. Go back and listen to the Gary Chalk interview if you haven't. We'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, ironically, Michael Bay keeps claiming one actor is his birth father, and the actor keeps saying, "No, I am not." And DNA. I got around here somewhere. DNA tests have been even failed, saying this is not your father. Michael Bay is like, "Well, you did him wrong."
Nice. Michael, he wasn't born. He was put together in post by ILM.
He was exploded.
Yeah.
He emerged from an explosion.
He exploded from the birth canal with explosions and lens flare.
Remember Superman 4?
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
When the doctor slapped him on his butt, his mom said, "Awesome."
I almost choked. That was awesome.
Oh, he's the cousin of Leonard Nimoy. He figured that one out.
Is
wow!
He?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like it's like by marriage, but yeah, he's technically cousin to
I claim it too.
Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah. I mean, hey, well, what's my early career included Meatloaf music videos? Oh, I'm a Spock's cousin.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Hey,
I'm looking at his IMDb page. I'll come back in a minute.
Okay. Hey, guess what, guys?
What's up?
This episode of Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store.
What?
Yes. Big Bad Toy Store. You know, I may, instead of fighting MattyCollector.com, I think I'm just going to start pre-ordering everything from Big Bad Toy Store.
That's the best thing to do.
It's healthier.
Yeah, I mean, of course you pay a slight premium, but, you know, it's worth it just in the stress that it relieves. I mean, virtually everything I buy online, maybe now exclusively, will come from Big Bad Toy Store, because I really think I am done with Matty Collector.
Yeah. I've been that way for, like, I forego eBay for Big Bad Toy Store.
Of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't trust eBay.
I'm tired of my auctions getting sniped at the last minute. That upsets me greatly.
Yes.
I'm highly irritated.
Very perturbed.
Very perturbed. I mean, it is very frustrating. But they have quite a few pre-orders up. They have the new Masters of the Universe Classics pre-orders up. They have Evil Inn, Count Marzo, and others. And if you want the diorama, the diorama stands, which I wanted but didn't fight for yesterday, they do have those up. I mean, Big Bad Toy Store is great. I have never, ever, ever, and I'm being honest, I have never had a problem with a purchase from Big Bad Toy Store, and they are the only company that I can say that. So, to get to Big Bad Toy Store, again, let me remind you, the way to let Big Bad Toy Store know that you heard about them on Radio Free Cybertron, simple and easy, tfradio.net/BBTS. It's actually shorter than BigBadToyStore.com, but slightly longer than BBTS.com. But tfradio.net/BBTS. We would appreciate it. They would appreciate it. And you'll appreciate the quality of service and quality of items that you get from Big Bad Toy Store. tfradio.net/BBTS. Just buy something. Okay. What's that, Rob?
I was singing a jingle in the background.
Awesome.
Big Bad Toy Store.
Okay, work on that this week. And then...
Yeah. Big Bad Toy lyrics. Store.
Get your Matty Collector fix here.
Exactly. That's awesome. You got a video. You put a Burning Fallen toy video up on your blog, didn't you, Rob?
Yeah, that was my latest attempt at doing a video review was Burning Fallen. Fallen the Burn. How do you pronounce that? Burning Edition?
Falling the Burn.
I know he's the Burning version, but it doesn't say anywhere on his packaging, so I'm like, what's the correct way to name this toy?
Blazing
Orange fire. Boy?
I guess. Fallen on Fire?
Yeah. That's like the best song lyric ever.
And I'm falling on fire!
So, yeah, but I'm actually posting a review tomorrow evening of Transformers Animated RC, so... We'll post that. And I want to thank my buddy Chris Triplett for getting that for me. He was banking on me to get those Matty Collector's items for him yesterday, and I just kept emailing him like, dude, I'm trying. I kept sending him screen grabs. I was actually running in two browsers. In Windows 7, of course, I snapped it to the left and to the right. So I was taking screen grabs and sending him, like, status updates. And then, you know, by nearly 1 o'clock, like, dude, I'm never doing this again. So he emailed me today. He's like, you know, I had the worst experience at Toys R Us ever. And I'm like, oh, no. He's like, I got the item to the front, and they wouldn't sell it to me because the SKU wasn't in their system. And that happened to me when I was trying to buy new Soundwave. And I'm like, oh, no. I've already told the people that we're going to have this contest going now. And he was like, yeah, dude, I'm not going back. It's the worst experience I've ever had. And then I thought, that sounds familiar. Did he really have this bad experience, which I could see? Or is he just, you know, jerking my chain because the same thing happened to me yesterday? Well, it turned out he was just jerking my chain. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm very appreciative.
That's like something I would do to you.
Yes, it is. He's much more like you. He's got the same name. He's much more like you than you would realize. So I'm actually going to review RC and Cybertronian Ratchet. So whatever the actual name of the toy is.
Cybertron Mode Ratchet.
Cybertron Mode Ratchet. I'll be reviewing both, and I'll have those up on YouTube. And, you know, I'll probably mess something up because I don't have the YouTubes down yet, so... But I'm starting video soon. Well, not maybe soon, but I'm working actually toward building a studio by summer where I'll actually be able to shoot live video.
Wow.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. I plan to have 2 to 3 more up by the end of this week. It just depends on how frustrated I get with the windows literally glowing in my room while I'm videotaping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bright in here.
Luckily, I don't have that problem. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back here in just a few moments.
180 reviews, over 3,000 photos, more than a dozen different toy lines, 6 cameras. How do you measure 5 years? This March, It Figures celebrates its 5th birthday. Starting March 1st, join RAC and XV as they return to where it all started. For quality toy reviews, photography, and just plain awesome, It Figures. FigureReviews.com.
Okay, we're back. Toy Fair 2010 is really the big news from the last week, but we wanted to actually just devote the remainder of the show, sans an interview that we did with Mike and Steve from Geekcast Radio. But Toy Fair 2010, so much happened. It's the best Toy Fair that I can remember. The live show we did was great. It was fun. And, you know, the big news, obviously, is Weeble Wobbles. I watch Transformers Weeble Wobbles. I am not joking. Transformers Weeble Wobbles may be the new Spy Changers. They may be my new favorite thing ever.
Well, if Hasbro could have just gotten the Dark Mount Straxxas Weeble Wobble out,
I'm waiting.
We'd have all been, yeah.
what I really want to do is Weeble Wobble kit bashes. I want to be able to take a Weeble Wobble apart and put in a new piece of paper with the face on it. I may make a Weeble Wobble me.
You know, I actually forgive him for canceling Robot Heroes now because of Weeble Wobbles.
I really can't tell you how excited I am about this. I will buy multiples. You're going to have a Weeble Wobble Prime in your shelf, Ender. How does that make you feel?
I'm all about the Weeble Wobbles. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I'm not forgiving anybody for Robot Heroes. That's just not going to happen.
Thing is, the Robot Hero would fall, but it wouldn't. It would just fall. Weeble Wobble.
Nice.
Standing proud, walking tall.
They weeble and they wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh.
God, that's so awesome. What else is big news besides Straxxas?
Well, you know, I have to say, after hearing how the Power Core Combiner toys are supposed to work, I'm a lot more excited for them than I was before.
They're different. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I can't get more excited. I'm like, this is the first thing I've wanted to complete since for a while now. I
they
get
come complete in package, though.
No, I mean, like, every single one that gets put out. Like, I want to be a completist on the Power Core guys.
Well, how many are there? They're not that many.
Well, we've seen...
That makes it affordable.
Like,
yeah, that's
true. We've seen about 5 of the deluxe, or not deluxe, the Scout 2 packs, and there's, I think, at least 4 5 pack sets so far.
And they could recolor them out the booty.
Yeah.
Yes. If I were a kid and was going to actually, like, put a lot of playtime into these.
Speaking of playtime.
Yeah, hang on. Weeble Wobble!
Ender has children, of course. Leia is the most adorable child ever.
That was Alex.
Alex. Said it would be... I can't tell. It's not like Leia's on talking about, you know, who was her favorite? Was it Ironhide? Was that her favorite?
You could ask her. I'm not sure who is right now. Leia. Come here, Leia.
That's what she thinks of Straxxas.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Straxxas.
I think she's far more interesting than I am. Here you go.
Who's your favorite Transformer, Leia?
No comment.
No comment. It's like you're weird and from the South.
You get that a lot, don't you?
She is mad.
No. I said no. She said that to me that I'm weird and from the South.
No. She said I'm shy, and I said no. She's not.
No, she's not.
Yeah, no. She's not shy. Yeah.
So
you told me not to talk to the weirdos, Daddy.
Yep. Ironically, I do have candy. Well trained.
So is it Power Core Combiners? Is that the big news, or is it Straxxas, or is it somewhere in between?
Straxxas is a pretty big thing.
Straxxas is like the moment about ATT. Pretty much 10 years ago, went. Whoa!
Nobody, it's like in the fandom now. The fandom's changed so much. Back then, Straxxas was a big deal, but I don't know that other than like the people who have been around forever really even care about Straxxas.
No, his heyday was way too long ago. Again, I'm sure maybe for the current
crowd, or pretty soon if they do like Beast Wars homages and pretty soon Armada homages, then that'll be their Straxxus.
We got a Bludgeon, and that's fantastic, and I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited about Straxxus, don't get me wrong, but just the general love isn't there.
The whole Generations thing, I mean, it's just Classics again with a different name, or Universe with a different name.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're still doing it. That's good enough.
What I'm excited about from Generations is that we are getting Thrust, finally.
Yes. I already got one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You know, I don't have it, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
I'm happy to get one for $12 instead of $75.
Well, I got a box full of Thrusts in different colors. That's why I'm... It's like, I got BotCon Thrust. What's really different here? It's the Hankai version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so it's pretty much Ramjet and Thrust's colors, or...
No, Hankai Thrust had different wing pizzas.
Oh, okay.
I could go for some wing pizza.
Yeah.
I could really go for a hot wing pizza. Wouldn't that be great?
It is so good.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's on topic.
Hey, Brian, now here's a topic that I think came up on the live show when you were gone, so maybe you'll have an opinion.
Okay.
I brought up the idea, this is kind of like, I guess, a meta thing, about how these days, okay, so these days more than, you know, every year it seems to become, this seems to become more the case that we have sublines of Transformers for all kinds of people. So we have the movie stuff, we have the Generation stuff, we have Weeble Wobbles, like merchandise, we have hats, we have all sorts of like divergent gimmicks and sublines and stuff. So is that a good thing? Or was it better back in the days when, you know, every year we had like Armada or a gimmick and, you know, you could take it or leave it, but you knew like, you know, a year could be defined by this one gimmick and you knew most of the resources were being poured into like this one idea.
I like them having like a singular mission statement for the year. We want to make the best toys that have this gimmick or that gimmick or whatever. But I mean, you know, even Revenge of the Fallen, it's the big line right now, but there are sub lines within, you know, like the Bludgeon is basically a Classics figure, but he's within the main line. They can sort of sneak things in, so it's not really mutually exclusive, but I would much rather have like one big overarching series or line and, you know, see how it plays out, and then the next year have a new overarching series and see how that plays out instead of just trying to be hit and miss and do, you know, serve be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Go ahead, JD.
I was just going to say, I mean, I can see from a corporate standpoint, though, and especially from a market diversity standpoint, why you'd want to sort of hedge your bets. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily bad. I don't think it's hindering any of the lines. I mean, do we think the animated line was hindered by Revenge of the Fallen? I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think, well.
Yeah, of course it was.
Not so much even hindered. It was completely destroyed by it.
Yes.
Well, I mean, as far as
obliterated and cast aside.
Well, the figures weren't bad. I mean, what are you saying? You're saying from a sales standpoint? You're saying from a figure?
Well, it ended.
The fact of the matter that Hasbro said we want to have one line out during movie time, so we are going to obliterate the secondary line for the time the movie line is our paramount.
Yeah,
the same thing with the universe. They completely blew everything else out of the water for Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, we're just now getting RC and Ratchet. We're never getting Mega Supreme. Yeah, of course the movie hindered.
Well, I guess I did.
And Hasbro was worried enough about animated hindering Revenge of the Fallen. That's why they did it. They were worried enough about that to cancel that and Universe.
I'm just saying they've been doing two lines for a while.
Universe has been there since the early aughts, the early 2000s.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that hasn't hindered that line.
It's not presented itself as a marquee line, though. Typically, they sell repaints in Universe.
Yeah, Universe has always been a nice filler line. The figures come right in between the major line cases.
And, I mean, I don't know if it's intentional, but Universe also does a good job of sort of having continuity between the major retailers and the secondary retailers. You can go to Walmart or Target, and they'll have a couple of Universe toys. Then you go to Family Dollar, Big Lots, or wherever, and they have them there, too. And for the people who obviously don't know, oh, that's a Transformer, there's some continuity between the two. So it's like, you know, maybe some purchasers who buy stuff at Walmart carry over and buy the stuff at, you know, Big Lots.
I mean,
just to sort of devil's advocate, I mean, if Hasbro does, you know, go back to say where it was one line per year, I mean, what happens when it's a dud? I mean, now they're, I mean, they're stuck with the one line for a whole year.
What happens when there's three lines and three lines are a dud, or if two lines are a dud?
But that's not really been a problem.
No, Transformers are selling like hotcakes. I think you could put a turd in a box and put the Transformers, you know, logo on it, and it will sell. Right.
Unless it's a Toys R Us exclusive.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we've had you know, lines going back till, you know, to when did Universe start? After Robots in Disguise, or was
03.
Oh three.
Yeah, it was so during Energon.
Yeah, but we've had that, and we've had alternators and so on and so forth. But we've still had one major line encompassing, you know, the majority of the share of the toys. And I think if we try to break it down and dilute it, and you have multiple lines, I don't think that's the best solution. But, you know, who am I to judge or question Hasbro? I mean, they're a multi-billion-dollar company, and I'm a big fat dude who talks behind a microphone. So
about said things.
Yes.
Okay. Now, if Hasbro wants to hire me as like an analyst, I'll totally do that.
Yeah, a brand consultant.
Yes.
John was saying when he was presenting the situation, the scenario, that some years were defined by the gimmick. Of all the stuff we're getting this year, what do you think is going to be remembered as the feature that defined 2010 in Transformers?
Not falling down. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. You know, I mean, that's the deal. Because I look at power core combiners, and I guess at the end of the year, there's at this point, you can't definitively say how big the line's going to be, but I can't help but look at it and feel that it's somewhat held back or somewhat neutered just because other resources have to be, you know, applied to Revenge of the Fallen or, you know, the movie toys, Generations, the other merchandise. And so I wonder what Power Core Combiners would have looked like if it was rolled out as like, this is it. And, you know, here are three times the toys we saw. And, you know, and the cartoon's going to be kind of wrapped around it and et cetera, et cetera.
I would totally be up for that.
Yeah, this seems like the, you know, pull the gimmick out of a hat line to me.
I like this hat.
Yeah.
To me, the biggest real-world benefit of having a single line versus a billion lines is, you know, look outside of us. You know, the parents buying their kids toys. I want Optimus Prime. Great.
Which one do you want?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like we've talked about before, that phone call from a well-meaning relative or loved one trying to pick up toys for you. Now you just made it harder for them and a bigger headache for you when you're trying to explain. No, not Energon Strongarm. Energon Strongarm.
What's the box look like? Is it in a peg or in a box? Well, how big is the box?
Yeah, they already don't know what you're talking about. Well, it says Transformers and...
What's the assortment number? Come on, what's the assortment?
Yeah. Well, I want the... Power Core Combiners, the wood. Yeah, mince you add the sub name in there. It gets even more confusing, even if it's right under Transformers Energon. Transformers.
So basically, your argument is that parents should be able to shop for Transformers without a SKU gun.
Exactly. And make it easier for the people that aren't in their 30s cataloging these things on the internet. You know, the people are actually paying the bills at Hasbro.
Well, if everyone's carrying their iPad with them to the store, they can, you know, better find the information.
Well, great, then Hasbro, that'll be finally the end of Twist Ties because they won't need to display anything anymore. They can just have, like, big white boxes all the same size with SKUs on them. They'll all be the same line.
That'd be great. Just have a pull tag.
Transformers scanners.
Hey, I gave you this pull tag. Why'd you bring me that one?
Oh, idiot. They could sell a Transformer that turned into a scanner and worked. Retailer.
The lady just brought me a Power Ranger.
Who brought you a Power Ranger?
No, this is my scenario of having tags to pull from the shelf. This is a Power Ranger, you idiot.
Call the line Transformers skewed.
But I mean, okay, seriously though, there's so much at Toy Fair this year. We had Power Core Combiners, we had Straxus, we had the Weeble Wobbles, we had information.
I want those hats.
Yeah,
War for Cybertron game.
War for Cybertron game. This was a huge year for Hasbro.
Blaster.
I want that.
And of course, Masterpiece Grimlock.
With the crown.
Wicca Wicca.
And it's a toy, that's a Toys R Us exclusive. We totally assumed that it was going to be a Walmart exclusive.
Yeah. Well, that means it won't sell at all.
Thanks to the Paramount marketing department, Hasbro is, like, you know, shareholders are swimming in money, Scrooge McDuck style, as we speak, and are willing to clear anything. Yeah, Power Core, Weebler Wobblers? Yeah, that's fine. Make 40 of those. Send those out.
Hey, and bring me a martini.
Transformers, on them. Transformers, sir. Yeah, whatever.
Power Core, Weebler Wobbles.
I'd buy that.
I think I'm the only one interested in the new version. What's the Action Fleet, the new version of RPMs?
You are the only one, sir, yes.
You're the only person on Earth, in fact.
What interests you about this?
Well, one, you know, I've only got a few RPMs just for novelty's sake. Guess they're nice little cards. But the even though it's half-assed transformations, that kind of looks neat. It's like, okay, I really shouldn't spend any money this week. Oh, $2, I got a new Starscream. You know, that. But
you could have given that to a homeless person.
Yeah, if no. But,
you could have rolled that up and shoved it up your nose. RPM.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather buy an RPM than help a homeless person. There, I said it. I mean. But
I'm not even talking mean-wise. I'm just saying, like, usefulness-wise, like, instead of having that piece of garbage on your shelf.
No, that's more useful to me than the $2 to a homeless guy. He's just going to buy some Mad Dog.
Homeless people can get their own Transformers.
Okay? Hey, exactly. F them. But,
hey, can I have my copy of Atlas Shrugged back?
Yeah. I think the other than the tiny little robot modes is Hound. The Hound's – I just saw Hound, and I was like, he doesn't turn into anything, and guns come out, but dude, a Hound, and yeah. I'll probably end up buying a couple of those damn cars that turn into guns. Or guns fold out, and I won't buy the Prime, though. That's stupid.
Were you a big Hot Wheels fan?
No.
I was a big Hot Wheels cereal fan. Man, that was a good cereal. Mm-hmm. Plus it had a toy inside. That was a great deal.
It's literally, I think it's just... It's gonna be
Kim just said I was a douchebag, by the way. I have to point that out. She walked by and heard that.
It's literally just, I think I'll...
Who are we to fly in the face of popular opinion?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a tighter shirt. We checked.
I'm super interested, but truthfully, I'd probably get only a handful, just like RPMs. But yeah, I really want that freaking Hound for some reason.
I'm going to buy zero of them.
Yep. I'm going to have to fight off the creepy Hot Wheels guys, too. Now, I don't care. I'm not after your Hot Wheels, you bearded old man.
Yes. Oh God, I hate fighting
neck beards.
Yeah.
When I used to do the midnight toy runs, I'd always run into the same guy, and he'd look at me and go, "Are you a collector? I'm a collector."
Whoa. Did he really sound like that?
Yeah, collector.
And was this an old dude or a neck beard?
He was a neck beard. He was a neck beard that looked older, but he might have actually been younger. Just Marlboro aged him or something. I mean, it was a skull. It was either him or the anime guys after Gundam Wings. And I'd go in there, I'd just be like, oh, Jesus, these guys are here again. I gotta stop doing this late at night.
What are
you collect?
I just picture the Gundam Wing fans looking at each other like, I am the greatest master in the history of Gundam Wing. I am Wu Fei. I am Zex Marquise. I don't know. I hated that show. I loved it, like, for 5 minutes, but...
I actually quite liked that show, but I couldn't stand Wu Fei. Even just bringing up his name, like, I had, like, a little upchuck reflex go there, like, oh, Wu Fei. God, I hate Wu Fei.
God, I just...
It turned into a total whose robot line is better each time, and I'd be like, dude, just stop talking to me, okay? I don't care. You like your toys, I like mine. You're a stranger.
Yes, I like my toys. You like your toys.
Yes.
Toys.
And it'd be weird when it'd be like one of those nights where, like, me and a friend would go from Walmart to Walmart to Walmart overnight just to kill time. And it'd be like,
I miss those days.
These guys are at every single Walmart I go to. Exact same ones. God, I just ate a Quick Trip and I'm going to fart right here in the aisle just to get rid of them. And I would. It became a thing like, let's go get some Quick Trip taquitos or something because I'm fixing to blow this aisle up so we can shop in peace.
Yeah, your mutant power of controlling your bowels is really, really impressive, I have to say.
Okay. I have some fast digestion.
Rob, you have got to start your own show again.
Telling you.
Your ability to wield your gastronomic capabilities is just...
Rob went to school in gastronomics. What do you say? I mean, so let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. Take a break. We'll come back. I interviewed TFG1 Mike and Steve from Geekcast Radio, and after that, we'll wrap the show up. We'll be right back. With me this week, I have TFG1 Mike and Steven Megatron Phillips from Geekcast Radio Network. They have all sorts of podcasts. They have Toycast, Tooncast, all things Transformers. You guys do a lot of podcasts.
Yes, we do.
How much time do you put into that stuff? That's like a full-time job.
Well, for me, when I first got into it, the idea was I had so much time on my hands that I needed something to occupy my time because I have a job that is very flexible. I'm basically, in real life, outside of the internet, I am a, I guess you could call it apartment manager type of deal, that I work for a group home that caters to young adults who need housing and stuff like that. So I'm pretty much home all the time. Not because I have to be, not because the job deems that I must be here at all times, just because I don't like going out. I don't like dealing with stupid people. Every time I walk out my front door of my building, I'm like, okay, let's just go back upstairs, you know, because the world is just screwed these days. But so I was like, okay, what can I – if I'm going to commit myself to doing a podcast, I want something that I am going to be passionate about, something I can talk about at length, and something that I generally love. And, you know, I didn't know what the hell I was getting into when I first started it. I mean, hell, Steve, he does all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Because when I first started, I was sending him clips, like, every week. I was like, here, edit this together, edit that together, do this, do that, do this, do that. You know, and it's like, because I didn't know how to do any of that crap. Now I'm starting to learn, and I've actually taken on the majority of the editing stuff of putting episodes together because it's much easier for me to run it all through iTunes. And instead of having to send Steve a file filled with, say, 4 or 5, 6, 10, 12 different MP3s and have him put it all together, it's just much easier for me to do it.
So what podcast are you doing now? You're no longer doing the TFG1 podcast anymore.
TFG1's done. TFG1, the set that I had on that was 24 episodes throughout the U.S. Rhino DVD releases, because at the time that's all I had, and currently that's still all I had and all I have. If anyone wants to get me the Matrix set, that'd be great. My birthday just passed, so.
You're 30.
Yes, unfortunately. TFG1 is done. We are currently running Tooncast, MWire, the Beast Unleashed podcast, and the Secret Origins podcast are the four main ones that are running concurrently every week and every other week. Tooncast and MWire are weekly. Beast Unleashed and Secret Origins are bi-weekly. And there's Toycast and All Things Transformers. Toycast, as of right now, it's kind of taking a little bit of a backseat. I just got a whole bunch of Mighty Mugs for my birthday, so we'll probably be doing more episodes of that. And we just did a All Things Transformers the other day, didn't we, Steve?
Yeah, we did one, I believe, Thursday. We also did we did the movie week in review that same day, but we haven't done a Geekcast in a couple weeks.
That's generic, right.
Our conversation show.
Yeah. Geekcast, he just calls it Geekcast Radio. I call it the Geekcast Radio Podcast. It's supposed to be our flagship show of the entire network, and we've had 8 episodes since we've started the network, or 8 or 9 or somewhere around there.
8.
I think once a lot of the other shows die down. Like, Tooncast has a definitive ending. It will end at 100 episodes. And that will be June of 2011. Beast Unleashed has a definite end. It will end at 30 episodes. I believe that's going to end sometime in January of 2011. And then Secret Origins should take us up to February of 2011. So once those three are done, I think I'm going to focus more on putting episodes into Geekcast Radio. So, like, say we want to, instead of doing a whole podcast on a TV show, we can just have like an hour or two episode on Geekcast Radio talking about that TV show.
Unless it's one that we decide that we're going to split off. But we also have, we're going to launch soon, sometime this year, GCRN Wars, which is basically a debate show.
Yes.
But more so heated debate than, it's kind of a cross between Geekcast Radio podcast and Headshot, which is our venting podcast.
Yes, we created a podcast so we don't have to bitch and take down all the other quality of the other shows.
How did you guys get hooked up? How did you meet?
Well, it was right. I believe it was. I had just found Twitter, and I knew a couple of people. And mainly, when I started on Twitter, it was like I was going to follow the people that I listened to as far as podcasts, like Mike Dodd from This Week in Geek, Steve Saylor from This Week in Geek, and I saw this guy that followed me. He's like SCP-21. I'm like, who the hell is that? I don't know who the hell that is. So we just started. I don't even know how the damn conversation started, but we just started up, and I said, you know, I'm wanting to start a Transformers review podcast about G1. I said, you know, do you mind if you sponsor me or whatever? And that's how we got the whole thing in the beginning, where I did all the recording and he did all the editing. Whereas now it's kind of reversed. I do all recording and editing for the most part. I mean, he does edit. He does Geekcast Radio podcast, All Things Transformers, Headshot, and a couple other shows. But all the other shows that I'm the main voice in, for the most part, I do all the editing myself. And I don't do a lot of editing. Like, I won't edit. Like, I try now to edit out, like, burps and yawns and stuff like that, now that I've learned and stuff. But mainly when I edit, I try to take out, like, blank audio in between, like, say, discussion points or whatever. I guess that's right, isn't it, Steve? I don't know.
As for that, yeah, I met you on Twitter. What I went around doing was following anybody that had anything Transformers related to their Twitter account, and then I would look for podcasters on top of it. So I think I found you through the Transformers section, and just started following everybody I could on there, and that's how we connected on there. And then I also run a Transformers website called PredaconEmpire.com. Which has been online for roughly 7 years now. And although it's not a big site, it does keep me busy. Not quite as much anymore since Geekcast launched. But I originally started out podcasting on the TF Wire podcast. I was the host of the War Stories. And I did the character voices and narration and everything for that, and then guest hosted on a couple of their shows. And when my show came to a close, I decided that I liked podcasting and I wanted to start a new show, so I created All Things Transformers. And most of the time I was on my own, other than, I mean, before Mike joined up, I had another co-host, which I had people just constantly slamming the show whenever he was on, and then on top of it, time schedules didn't work up, and so it just kind of didn't flow as well. And so when Mike joined up, that's when that show started picking up really. And I hosted TFG1 podcast, guest hosted on his, and then I think around April or May we decided to pull out a network, and we were both wanting to do a movie review show. So everything else kind of flowed from there.
So where do you see, like, the Geekcast Radio Network going in, like, the next year or two? What do you see you guys picking up new topics, new people, or what do you see?
For me, just from my own personal opinion of it, it depends on the person. Like, if we're going to pick up a new co-host, it depends on if we have a chemistry with them over the air. you know, that as far as new content, I'm going to be scaling back. Like Steve said, unless there's like a TV show that we want to separate or a topic that we want to separate into its own podcast, we will. But, you know, when we first started this, you know, we had, at the time, I think we had 4 shows, and then it grew into 8, and then it grew to 10. And I've always said, you know, what the hell are we doing? We're nuts. Because, like you said, Brian, it takes, you know, I mean, for me, this is pretty much what I do all day long, almost every day.
My wife calls the podcast The Other Woman.
My girlfriend calls it evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife kind of agrees with both of what you guys say.
Once some of the other shows are done, I'm going to scale back and just focus on Movie Week in Review and Geekcast Radio. And if there's something that comes up, that's more than fine. Toycast and All Things Transformers, I mean, All Things Transformers is really Steve's show, so I'm not going to speak too much about that. But Toycast, I can do that anytime, as long as I have a toy to talk about. I mean, that's pretty much an anytime show. Originally, that show was going to be a monthly show. Because at the time, I was talking to Optimus Scourge of the TFW boards and a couple other people, and we had a falling out, and we haven't talked to him since. But, you know, whatever, you know, I wish him all the best. But now it's like, you know, just whenever we have the time to do it. I mean, half time it's when I'm, you know, not doing anything else or not talking to anybody else or whatever. I'll try to find people. Hey, do you want to record?
Yeah, I mean, you've just pinged me. It's like, hey, you want to record a toy cast? And if I can, I'm like, sure, let's do it. Or like, man, you know, I've got to go out with the wife, or I have to go do something.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's that's great that you can just do that. Me, I have to schedule something. I have to have it scheduled. I'm just sitting around doing nothing. Sure, yeah, I'll be glad to. That sounds awesome. I have something I want to talk about. I really like that.
Oh, toy cast is the only toy cast and Geekcast Radio, I think. And well, and All Things Transformers are pretty much the 3 shows that have no set schedule as far as topics. Like, I have topic ideas for Geekcast Radio, and if we decide on a topic that we want to talk about, I will do the research and pass it on to Steve or whoever else we're going to have on. But when I set out to do TFG1 podcast, when I set out to do MWire, I have MWire scheduled to 2015. I have it scheduled for the next 4 or 5 years of our lives. Whether we do it the next 4 or 5 years of our lives, it is up in the air. But right now, it's scheduled until 2015. But yeah, I had to have a set schedule when it came to MWire, Tooncast, Beast Unleashed, Secret Origins. I wasn't just going to fly by the seat of my pants. I had a plan that I wanted to make for those shows.
How do you determine what you're going to do that far out?
Well, basically, I just look at my DVD shelf. As far as MWire goes, I was like, okay, well, you know, where do we want to start? Where do we want to go with this? What movies do we really want to talk about? What movies do we like? What movies do we want to just completely rip to shreds? I just went down the list, because I made a list of every DVD that I own. So I just went down the list, and I said, oh, you know, we'll put that here, we'll put that there. We do have, like, for the major numbers, we do have very epic episodes planned. Like, for episode 50, we're going to talk about the Indiana Jones films. For episode 100, or for episode 75, we're going to talk about Star Wars. Episode 100, we're going to talk about all the Star Trek films. You know, and we have spotlights throughout that podcast. Episode 10 through 18 was a Marvel spotlight on all the currently released Marvel films, for the majority of them. Episodes 25 to 30 was a spotlight on the Batman films. Episodes 51 to, I think, 55 or 56, I don't remember, is a spotlight on the Superman films. You know, now we just finished recording and it's releasing today. We just finished episode 31, which was our coverage on the live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles films. And now we have about, I think, 8 episodes where it's like single movies, where we don't have to watch 4 or 5 different films in, you know, for one episode. So it's going to be a nice break. I just had a really, really cruel thought for our interviewer here. I was going to, you put on Twitter your version of the touch.
Oh yeah, that, I did. I recorded
gonna,
back in like.
I was gonna copy the link. I was gonna copy the link and send it to Stan Bush and see what he thought of it.
I'll send it to Stan Bush. Actually, I think I told him that when we were talking. It's like we were talking about file sharing, and I think what was in B-roll that it didn't make it to lives. Like, yeah, I recorded the touch and had it on Napster, and people would download it.
I was 6 years old when the movie came out. And I knew the music, and I knew I liked it, but I didn't always know who it was by. And I think in late 98 or early 99, I found somewhere the original soundtrack. The original, not the re-release, not the 20th anniversary one, but the one that they put out in 86. And I've had that ever since, and I...
Was it a record or a tape or what?
No, CD.
Oh, okay, cool.
The original CD soundtrack. I've BotCon's been out of my reach for the last few years. I've never actually been, like I said, but I sent it to a friend of mine who had bought something from me off of eBay, and she took it to BotCon with her and had him sign it, and this was after I had interviewed him the first time. So that's really cool. I have a signed original CD soundtrack of Transformers the Movie by Stan Bush himself.
If you could get Weird Al on that, that would be like the most awesome thing ever.
I asked her about that, but at the time it was last year's BotCon, and Weird Al was only doing one signature per person.
Hey guys, thank you so much for being here. How can we find Geekcast Radio Network and Predacon Empire? How can we find those sites?
Oh, Steve, why don't you give out the PE info?
Well, for Predacon Empire information, go to www.predaconempire.com. The site gets updated often, but not as often as I would like. And you can also check out the forums. There should be like a big button on there, but if not, go to predaconempire.com/nexus for the forums, which is jointly used between Predacon Empire and Geekcast Radio. You can also email, if you want to get a hold of me, steve@geekcastradio.com.
And for, Steve just gave his email address. It's to find Geekcast Radio Network. It's www.geekcastradio.com. You can find us on Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. He's at SCP21. We do have a group for Geekcast Radio on Facebook that Steve created. We also have a fan page that I created. And you can also find either one of us on Facebook. Just search Mike Blanchard or Stephen C. Phillips. We do have a lot of stuff coming out and coming up. I actually have to start watching later today or tomorrow more Beast Wars episodes for episode 4 of the Beast Unleashed podcast. Today I actually have to find on YouTube and sit through Captain Planet for a Tooncast record later this afternoon.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know.
I laughed at you.
Shut up, Steve. like I said before, we have the Turtles live-action film episode of MWire that's released today. Next on MWire will be the motorcycle thriller Torque. And then after that, I believe we have A League of Their Own for that show. All things Transformers, I've been trying to get this done recently. I don't know how we're going to get this done, especially now that I have this new microphone. I want to do commentaries for the original 86 movie and then the two live-action Transformers films. So
we're also trying for some other interviews as well of voice actors.
Yeah, going back to the Stan Bush thing, we just released an update for Stan as far as I wanted to get a hold of him and see when this, you know, he's been talking about, you know, he's doing this new album. Well, it's been a year and a half. I know it takes a while to produce those, but wanted to see like what he was doing. He actually revealed to us that, or he revealed to me, because I was the one talking to him, that it's probably set in stone, but it isn't currently yet. And he wasn't sure if he should actually say anything, but he will be at BotCon this year.
Fantastic.
I also just did an interview. It was the first time I ever talked to this guy, David Wise, who is a Transformers writer. Very, very cool guy to talk to. So those are out. Leave us, honestly, the best way to help us out as far as, you know, besides word of mouth or retweeting or whatever on Twitter, leave us feedback in iTunes on all the shows. That's honestly the best way to help us out as far as that. You know, you don't even have to write like a, you know, one paragraph review. Just, you know, great job. Keep up the good work and give us 5-star feedback in iTunes.
This is Gary Chalk, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Twitter Theater for this week. Nemesis Part 2. Oh. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Choo-choo.
Read the Codex of Primus? I'm left hanging? Come on.
It's from the Book of Primus. Did you say the Codex of Primus?
I think it's the Codex of Primus, and the line after that is only the good parts.
Oh. Sorry.
Hanging. I thought.
Yeah, I totally lost that. I'm sorry. That was fail.
Does anyone ever quote that line?
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So I thought you said the Codex. Did you say Codex?
Codex. I thought it was Codex. I'm sorry. It's Covenant.
No, it's not the method of encoding and decoding Primus. It's, you know, the Covenant of Primus.
Mm-hmm. It's the method of a
dual fail.
In robots, that would have worked just as well. It wasn't that unreasonable. I just remembered it was C something. I knew it wasn't book.
Can anyone else quote that does lines without busting into a Beatles song? Cuckoo, ca-choo. I just like and it just like becomes a big singing session. Like, is that was in a show? Oh, I'm sorry, you're here.
So well, yeah, I'm
not sure where
two.
He went, but that sort of scared me.
Rob, you're not on drugs today, are you? I thought I was the only one that was high this week.
Wow, that G.I. Joe figure looks like a silver hawk.
That G.I. Joe figure is talking to me.
That's Cobra Commander. F that crap.
So, okay, Nemesis yeah, Part 2. What do we think about this episode?
It sure was the end of Beast Wars.
The resolution just kind of, you know, they resolved the whole show in what, 45 seconds?
Basically.
You know what really didn't sit right with me with that episode, though?
Yeah, that's the last episode of Beast Wars.
Yes.
Actually, that's not what I was thinking of. Simon Furman dialogue doesn't really seem to fit coming out of the mouths of those characters. I've got to say it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He works with Megatron.
All I wish is that we'd had more time to go back to, because they sort of turned it into a theme about Dinobot, you know, being more himself in that last episode. I wish we'd had more time in the series to explore that. So I got what they were saying when they said it, but it was just like, boy, if you'd done that for two episodes, that would have been so much more meaningful.
So much more meaningful. I agree with you 110%.
You know what and got me more?
Really, well, it gave sort of a moral center to the series and its conclusion to have it be that what saved them was not Rhinox hitting Megatron with a car, but...
Rob.
To have it be that they're embracing of Dinobot, even though he was a Predacon, and them, you know, upholding their ideals in the long run was what won them the war.
Rob was going to say something. I want to ask one question first. Have we ever had an American Transformer series that actually resolved itself satisfactorily? That didn't just try to squeeze everything into the last 2 minutes of the show?
No.
When was the last time we had an American Transformer series?
Animated.
Animated.
Fair question. Okay. So
But the thing you have to remember, though, too, is that these guys, you know, if they're lucky at a few months' notice that they're not going to just be making more of the show and then have to figure out some way to wrap it up in that timeline with whatever method they're making it in. And the Japanese, A, have self-contained shows to start out with, and B, half the time don't bother to end them anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Can you say there's a time when a Japanese Transformers series has had a satisfactory resolution?
Yeah.
Or,
is it,
you know, a satisfactory
ending
middle, for that matter?
Yeah. Is a Japanese ending really an ending at all most of the time?
Wait a minute. Has any series had a satisfactory, now that we think about it?
Sure, of course.
I mean, G1 cartoon was cut short.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, it sort of had, it actually did manage to have something of an ending.
Yeah, it's
Rebirth.
Rebirth was not an ending.
Yeah,
that was a beginning.
Well, yeah, I don't really see that as a good ending either.
They were in the golden age. You could so say the Autobots won at the
end.
Yeah,
absolutely. And at the end, the Decepticons were left reeling. They made an exit, and boom, it was done.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with leaving it open more, but they.
Okay.
They let the good guys win, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty hardcore.
The comic series was cut short. The, you know.
Yeah.
Beast Wars was cut short. Animated was cut short.
Mm-hmm. The movies.
Oh, animated. See, animated, biggest tragedy out of those, because it was, like, actually going somewhere.
Yeah.
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 Animated seemed to have some direction and be going somewhere you'd want to get to. The movies remain a bus ticket to a place we do not want to go. I think so.
That needs to be your new clip in the intro of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, those should be updated periodically.
Yep, that's always been the plan. So.
Okay, good.
Okay,
keep those coming, let me tell you.
Rob was going somewhere, and I kind of interjected. Sorry about that.
No, that's cool. You know what's my biggest problem with Nemesis, and it's more part one than part two? Okay, we just got Tiger Hawk on the show. Really, right off the bat, kill him?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, my new toy is dead already? Really? You know, that kind of really peeved me. It's like, could he have, like, made it to the end of part two and then, oh, there he goes, dead or something?
And now, Maximals meet the new Maximal, Tiger Hawk, $39.95. Blam! Okay, hope you liked him. Now we move on.
He's all powerful. He's the unstoppable Maximal Warrior. Here's Tiger Hawk, and here's a gun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, admittedly, it wasn't like he got shot in the face and he's dead. I mean,
he had a run-in with Mr. Fusion Cannon.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
Think yeah. They're not going to go too well after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but could they shot someone else?
I mean, I don't really care if you can make it rain on the big ship. It still has the giant cannon sticking over your head.
Yeah, why Tiger Hawk was Storm was always a little bit beyond me. I gotta admit.
It doesn't really make any sense.
Do you know what happens when lightning hits a frog?
Oh, God. Yeah, God.
This movie sucks.
Well, that was the thing. You know what happens when lightning hits a giant spaceship? Absolutely nothing.
Hey, I've got guns all over me. Lightning! Shoot one of the guns, you hippie.
You know, I think going forward, I'm going to just see how little I can really address each show in Twitter Theater. I think we'll talk about the show, and then we'll just have like a non sequitur and go in like a completely different direction.
Oh, we're planning to do that?
That's just how it works. And I'm not complaining because...
I think that's our show.
That is our show.
Yeah, that's our thing.
It's a non sequitur to nowhere, basically.
That's a good tagline.
Yes.
With bearing, you know, Beast Machines as hindsight, did it strike anyone else as really dumb that they strapped Megatron to the outside of the ship and brought it back?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You ever think, like, after, you know, they were sitting, after they'd been, you know, gotten through the first, you know, whatever, first episodes of Beast Machines, that anybody sat around and went, you know, whose idea was it to strap Megatron to the outside of the ship? They all kind of turned and looked at Cheetor. All right, if we catch Megatron again, what we do is...
Oh, my God.
Take a blowtorch and a...
Oh, yeah. Poor Nemesis Part 2.
I know.
You had all the potential in the world.
You know what I really regret about Nemesis Part 2? The plan to use the cone heads that just never went anywhere.
They were wanting to do that in not just Nemesis Part 2, but all through Season 3, weren't they? That wasn't just a Nemesis Part 2 deal.
I always heard it in reference to Nemesis specifically.
Well, I thought that Bob and Larry wanted to use the cone heads in Season 3. That was my understanding.
Yeah, they did.
I'd like to cite some genius in Nemesis Part 2, though. Waspinator?
Okay. Yeah. Of course, they ruined it. You know.
Yeah, I know. That was one of the things that
ruined it in Beast Machines, but it was great, especially his minor rebellion before he got pummeled for it.
Yeah.
because that was so deserved. It's just like, screw you guys, I'm not doing this anymore.
After 52 episodes, you can only take so much.
Then you just come back for more next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, except the next season, he actually turned into somebody kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't really get blown up all the time so much.
But he mentioned that, which I thought was kind of cool, too.
Okay, guys. I think I'm done with Nemesis Part 2 for today.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe more for tomorrow.
Maybe more for tomorrow. Hey, don't forget, if you want a Transformers animated Toys R Us exclusive RC, follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. Go to Facebook, search for Radio Free Cybertron, become a fan. That will like double your chances. And also email me, brian@tfradio.net. That's if you don't, you don't have a social media hookup. But
am I eligible for that? Because I haven't been able to find an RC.
You
yet.
Are not, sir. Yep.
I already got shafted on that.
Yeah, you are shafted.
The employees and affiliates of tfansradio.net are lucky to be working at all, much less participating.
I need to buy tfansradio.net now. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. The closer we get to the end of the episode, the more I'm just going to slip.
That really speaks for our character, doesn't it? One of the hardest to find toys out there currently, and everyone's like killing people over to get. And it's just sitting
there. No. Those are battle cats.
Yeah, we can't touch those. We can't touch those, but you can win it by a clever email.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, does this not sell Brian Kilby to you guys yet?
Oh, yeah.
This guy is a genius.
Oh, yeah. That's what they say.
One clever email. I have to be clever for like 2 hours a week, every week.
It's not a clever email. It's an email. It's like, hey, just letting you know that I want that darn toy. So,
Brian, you're fixing to get some naughty emails.
Hey, if you're hot and you want to take some pictures, Brian at tfradio.net.
It's going to be Metal Hulk guy.
If you're
going to get it for that. Just watch.
Yeah,
you'll get Metal Hulk guy emailing you, Brian. My house arrest things off in 5 minutes.
Okay, Rob. Okay. Also, if you want one of the posters, email Brian at tfradio.net. We have a link to the video where I share that off. Supplies are limited. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Man, those posters are awesome. Yeah, posters are great.
Yeah, John, you did a great job with those.
Rhinox hit Megatron with a car.
Okay, guys, talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?